going to continue in our series on 1 John. Last week, Pastor John did the first four verses, and we're going to continue with the next verses. And as we heard in the communion meditation this morning, pronouns are important. This first letter of John simply starts with the exordium, "We declare to you," which was from the beginning. We declare to you. The writer uses "we," the first person plural pronoun, and "our," and "you," and later in those verses, "his." Pronouns become ways of identification: she, her, he, him, they, them. And paying attention to pronouns in the scripture will help us to know who is doing the writing, about whom, and to whom. We're not going to get to "I" till next week when Pastor Karen preaches. So this week there's no "I" in the scripture, just we're going to hear some pronouns, and we'll listen for them, but it's not about "I" this week. Next week, Karen, that's on you. Okay. Verse 4 that Pastor John preached on: "We are writing so our joy may be complete." Now, if you're looking for 1 John and you're just tuning in, you can go to the last book of the Bible and turn left a few pages to locate 1 John, or you can look it up in your connected devices, or you can turn right when you get to Peter. And you'll find this little group of books, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, right there before Jude and Revelation. I'm going to read the scriptures in the New Revised Standard Version this morning and then look more closely at this paragraph. And you're going to hear these pronouns today: we, him, you, us, he, himself, our, his. But when I do this, I want you to listen, not just for the pronouns. I want you to listen for the word "if," because there are five "ifs" in here. When I say "if," I want you to say "if," okay? "This is the message that we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we're walking in darkness, we lie and do not do what is true. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." All right, now let's look at the pieces. "This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you." Again, look at the "we" and the "you." "We have heard this message from Jesus, and now it's our turn to proclaim it to you." This letter comes from eyewitnesses to what Jesus taught and did, and now we are proclaiming this message, it says. So we have an unction, a purpose, a need, a commitment, a calling to proclaim and declare this message. What message? That God is light, and in God there is no darkness at all. God created light. God called forth light. In the beginning, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God lives in light. Isaiah 60 says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you." James 1:17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change." Now, there's an example of darkness I want to share, because this week we had an opportunity to experience darkness at our house. We had a winter storm and rainstorm, and some of us lost our electricity, and our houses were dark and cold, and I cooked on the gas stove, and we had candlelight, and Alan found a lamp that he put on his head so he could read a book, because our house was dark until I got home from Bible study. And the trees were down and fell across the power lines until the power company came and cut the trees, blocking the road and restored the lines. Our entire neighborhood was in darkness. Now, in terms of physics, we consider an object to be dark when it absorbs photons, causing it to appear dim compared to other objects. Now, if we go outside in Atlanta at night and look up at the stars, we see stars on a clear night. If we get away from the city lights, we can see stars more clearly. We have state parks in Georgia classified as dark sky parks. And there are dark sky parks all over the United States, especially out west. But I was so excited. We have one in Georgia. There's one in Maine. There's lots of different places where you get outside of the city to see the lights from the sky, where the neon lights and the light pollution from cities have not disturbed our view of the beautiful stars that God created. God is light, and God's light shines in the darkness. In Exodus 10, we read about the plague of darkness as one of the 10 plagues in Egypt before the Exodus. In this plague of darkness, the land of Egypt experienced dense, palpable darkness. The darkness was so dense that for 3 days, people could not see one another or move about because of the darkness. And then it says that in verse 23, the Israelites had light where they lived. So in the midst of these plagues, some experienced dense darkness, but the Israelites had light where they lived. And once they were delivered from Egypt, they went through the wilderness. The Lord led them with a cloud during the day and a pillar of fire at night to light the way. God is light, not dark. John's gospel starts with, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Now listen to verses 4 to 9. "In him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overtake it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John," parentheses, John the Baptist. "He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He," John the Baptist himself, "was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world." And then we read in John 8, "Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus spoke to them saying, 'I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.'" 1 Peter says, "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the excellence of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Jesus called us to be light, to shine as lights in the darkness. Matthew 5, "You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. People do not light a lamp and put it under a bushel basket. Rather, they put it on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Now, you might remember the Graham Kendrick song from 1988, Shine, Jesus, Shine. We used it in prayer walks and prayer marches in the 1990s. Lord, the light of your love is shining in the midst of the darkness, shining. Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us. Set us free by the truth you now bring us. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light. All right, continuing in verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we're walking in darkness, we lie and do not do what is true. This verse starts with if. If is the little word that means suppose. If is a conditional word. We use if and then in sentences that if the first part is true, then the second part follows. So we're going to look at this word if, and you heard yourself saying it five times, and these are the verses 6 to 10 where those five ifs happen. So the first one is, if we say this, then we're lying and not truthful. What is the if? If we say we have fellowship with God while we're walking in darkness and not in the light, then we lie and we do not do what is true. Here it's not simply knowing the truth, it's doing the truth. There is an ethical component here. We are saying we have fellowship, but we're lying and not doing the truth. It's hypocritical, a hypocritical combination. When Jesus talked with Nicodemus at night in John's gospel, night, darkness, right? Chapter 3, Jesus said in verse 19, this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world and people love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so their deeds may not be exposed. But verse 21, those who do what is true come to the light, so it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. Verse 21 again, those who do what is true come to the light. Their deeds have been done in God. Consider Micah 6:8. He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and walk humbly with your God. So continuing back in 1 John, four more ifs and thens, but here's a but. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. So if we walk in the light as Jesus himself is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another. I have been pondering this all week and singing this little song. It's a Zulu song about Siyahamba Ekuyeni Kwenkos, right? And it's, we are marching in the light of God. And there are other verses. We're walking in the light of God, marching in the light of God. And it's a folk song, the Zulu folk song that somebody put to these lyrics. And it runs over and over in my head about, we are marching in the light of God. 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 You're welcome. Now you can take it. We are marching, marching, we are marching. You can have that earworm for you, just for you. Okay, but what does it mean to walk in the light or march in the light or pray in the light or live in the light or dance in the light? Truthful, honest, authentic, in the open, not hiding. If we walk in the light, we can have fellowship, friendship, relationship with one another based on walking with God in the light. And we have this promise. If we walk in the light and have fellowship, koinonia, with one another, the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. This is such a tremendous promise, cleansing. When children fall down in the dirt or mud and get up, they may brush themselves off and keep playing, but still have dirt on them, right? Cleansing is like a hot, soapy bath that washes all the dirt away and sends it down the drain. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin, all dirt and mud and missing the mark and trying and falling short of what we were trying to do or be. Now, Friday night at our house, we usually host a family in town. And one of our young dinner guests had a plate full of chicken nuggets and ketchup, a big pile of ketchup. And her eyeglasses fell into this pile of ketchup on her plate. Her dad tried to wipe it off. He tried to use a lens wipe. The lens wipe only smeared the ketchup more. What the glasses needed was hot, soapy water, so I got up and washed the glasses with the hot, soapy water, and once the glasses were washed and dried, our dinner guests could see again instead of trying to look through lenses smeared with ketchup. When the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin, we are truly clean. Now we're going to verse 8. Another if with an implied then. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we say with our mouths and go about pretending we have never missed the mark, we have no guilt or sin to be forgiven for. We are lying to ourselves and everyone else watching us. Missing the mark, hamartia, that Greek word means like an archer has a big target and shoots an arrow and it doesn't get to the bullseye. It may miss the target, it may get somewhere, but in archery, the bullseye is where you're headed, and this is missing the mark. That's that word. So the implied thens are twofold. The first one is we're deceiving ourselves, and the second one is we do not possess the truth. The truth is not in us. If we deceive ourselves, we cannot help ourselves. We are stuck in believing lies and we're trapped in deception. Then strongholds build up in the stories we tell ourselves and we end up living in the darkness that we've fallen into with our own deception. This is where we find so many people today who are lost and have gone off the path and do not know they're lost and they cannot find home. Their compass is broken and they cannot find north. They need us to love them, to be light, to proclaim truth and pray for them. So many in this world are walking in darkness and calling the darkness light. And if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves too. And then we cannot help others in darkness because we do not have light or truth to lead the ones stumbling around in the darkness who call darkness light. What is the remedy? Verse 9. If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So there's the other if and applied then. If we confess, then we will be forgiven and cleansed. Jesus, who's faithful and just, will forgive us our sins, our transgressions, our stumbling, our missing the mark, our being lost in the dark, and lead us home. And the blood of Jesus is sufficient, capable, and more than able to wash us, cleanse us, remove our guilt, shame, and the stains of our spotted lives and make us clean. What does it mean to confess our sins? Well, a couple of thoughts here. You may have more. Some people carry a big list of the commandments and compare themselves to the commandments of God. They spend a lot of time scrutinizing their lives. And that method may not be the most helpful for you. It's not for me. If I get a whole list of things I'm supposed to be measured up to, I'm going to be down on the floor on my knees going, help me, Jesus, help me, because I can't live up to the list of the commandments. Another way is asking God in prayer about how we've loved. Jesus commanded us to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, strength, love our neighbor as ourselves, love one another. And so maybe the question is just, have we loved? Have we loved? Another way we can review our day at a regular time, in the morning, at noon, in the evening, whenever we sense we have a distance or block in our hearts, whatever posture you take, sitting, walking, kneeling, whatever it works for you, talk with the Holy Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit about where we saw light today, where we saw darkness, what we did well, and what we missed doing. You know, sometimes we think about talking to the Holy Spirit about what we did wrong, but we really could also talk to the Holy Spirit about what went well. We ask for the light of God to shine in our hearts and show us anything we need to talk with God about. And then we can experience remorse for places we missed doing good, or we didn't have good motives, or we were unkind and unloving. And we can ask God for God's mercy and grace to receive forgiveness and cleansing from the Lord. We sang a song in worship this morning, Kyrie Eleison, and we could sing that song to the Lord. Forgive us for the idols we put on your throne, for the loves we chose above your own. Forgive us, we pray, for the lies we clutch to our chest, for the fear that wants to steal our breath, for the things we've left undone or the ways we've wandered from your heart. That's a beautiful song to just sit with the Lord and say, search me, O God, and know my anxious thoughts. Try me and see if there's any wicked way in me. Lead me. The Holy Spirit will convict us of our sins. But pay attention. If we get up from these times of confession, contrition, repentance, and cleansing, and we start to feel accusation, condemnation, and shame, that is not the voice of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will convict us. God's kindness will lead us to repentance, and we can receive cleansing and freedom to walk in fellowship, koinonia, friendship with God and one another. James 5, confess your sins to one another, pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Romans 8, therefore there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. So, if we're walking around feeling condemned, feeling less than, feeling unloved, feeling unworthy, like all we've ever done is disappoint God, that's a lie from the father of lies, and it will keep us locked up in deception and not walking in the freedom, the light, and the love of God. The word if is very important here. The word if has the power to save us. I'm going to tell you a story about the city of Sparta and the word if. Maybe you've heard it. There's this word laconic that means terse, a people of few words. And way back in history, about 300 years before Jesus came to earth, the city of Sparta earned its reputation as being a laconic, terse people of few words. And we now think of the word Spartan as an adjective that means stripped down to the bare essentials. The legend of the city of Sparta goes something like this. Philip of Macedon, who was Alexander the Great's father, wanted to conquer the world, and Alexander followed in his footsteps. But when Philip was trying to conquer Sparta, he came to this part of his campaign that he sent word to the city of Sparta that said, you are advised to submit without further delay. For if I bring my army into your land, I will destroy your farm, slay your people, and raise your city. That means level it, R-A-Z-E, not R-A-I-S-E. Okay. And so that was his message to the city of Sparta, and in response, ancient Sparta replied to King Philip's threat with a simple one-word response. If. Because he said, if I bring my army into your land. And they just wrote back, if. And basically, that one-word response from Sparta was more than just a statement. The insinuation was that if Philip tried, they would fight. If was their answer. In history, the word if saved the city of Sparta. In our scriptures today, the five ifs can help us love God and love one another more. The last if, with its implied then, of our scripture today is in verse 10. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. This is a very serious if and implied then. If we go around saying we have not sinned, not only have we deceived ourselves, as in verse 8, where we see that if we deceive ourselves, we lose the truth. Here in verse 10, if we say we have not sinned and do not need Jesus or the blood of Jesus to cleanse us, we do not need to confess our sins and receive the cleansing and forgiveness of sins and all unrighteousness, then we make God a liar and God's word is not in us. How much of a state of deception, lostness, and darkness is that, making God a liar? No! Let us believe God. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all missed the mark of the target's bullseye. We've all messed up. We've all, like sheep, gone astray. According to the scriptures, we've each gone our own way, but the Lord Jesus took upon himself our iniquities when he died for our sins. Each one of us who are human wrestles with sinful strongholds hidden in the darkness. The light of the Lord exposes, brings forward, and frees us from them when we confess and receive forgiveness and cleansing from God. Now, sometimes the consequences of our sins will have ramifications and responsibilities beyond just a conversation with God. If we're offended with someone, with what they said or did in our family or our workplace or church, we may need to forgive them and get rid of any lingering residual resentment. We may need to humble ourselves and ask for forgiveness. That happened to me this week. I had to ask forgiveness for something that I said on a chat, and I made a judgment, and so I had to ask for forgiveness and have the restoration with a brother who I was concerned about, and then we worked it out. So we may need to humble ourselves and ask forgiveness. Now, if we've broken the law of the land, we may have to pay fines or serve time in prison. How many of us have had a speeding ticket that there was a fine associated with, or we've done something that we had to pay? If we have an addiction to drugs or alcohol, we may have to find help in rehab or in 12-step programs. If we've abused our partner, we may have to live separately and apart for a while and get help because we've put our partner in danger. If we've stolen money or property, we may need to pay it back and return what we've stolen or misappropriated. Sin has consequences. Yes, we can be forgiven, and yet sometimes reparations and restitutions accompany our contrition to God. Another example, if we borrow our neighbor's tool and we break their tool while we're using it, that may not be a sin, but it could really mess up the relationship if we broke their tool. We can say we're sorry to God, but we also need to say we're sorry to our neighbor and offer to make it right, offer to buy a new tool or give money toward reparations for the damages, because it's not just saying we're sorry to God. Sometimes we have to make it right to have fellowship with one another. The blood of Jesus cleanses us, and then we live out the consequences of our choices while Jesus accompanies us through the journey. We have the invitation to walk in the light as God is in the light. We have the invitation to confess our sins and receive cleansing from all the dirt, filth, and messes of missing the mark. We're invited to walk in the truth, take God at God's word, stop deceiving ourselves. We can encounter God if we believe the message that the eyewitnesses who walked with Jesus wrote and proclaimed to us. And then we can proclaim this good news, this gospel, to others. Father of lights, in whom there is no darkness at all, thank you for the hope that your light brings us. Jesus, you are the light of the world. Shine, Jesus, shine in our hearts. Illuminate the darkness. Help us see where we need to confess, where we've missed the mark in loving well. Places where we've been unkind in our words and deeds. Areas where we need to receive your love and faithfulness to cleanse us and free us from deception and being stuck in any lies we've believed or still unknowingly continue believing. Break the strongholds that grip us, God. Set us free with your truth and power in Jesus' name.